It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
The police!
Recent historical records have surfaced proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to
the police,
asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
$1 million. If I had $1 million, well, I'd buy you a fur coat, but not a real fur coat, that's cruel. And if I had $1 million, if I had $1 million, well, I'd buy you an exotic pet.
Yep.
Like a llama or an emu.
So, Jody, do they have llamas or emus in Texas? West Texas? Don't they have llamas there?
Llamas, yeah.
Yeah? And armadillos.
Armadillos. Little varmints.
You know what?
They ate my yard.
Okay.
We had a game come out, and then they organized, and there was more of them the next night.
You did what the next night?
We had a game cam up because they were eating my yard, so put the game cam up, and there was one, and the next night there was five, and the next night there was 20.
I have a friend who does that over by the refuge, kind of, sort of, like as you're going up that little curve.
Yeah, that's organized crime right there.
Jody Segesser, our guest today, the Mojave County Republican Central Committee Chair, and it is Thursday, April 30th, 2026, as we broadcast from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with No Sink. Find City Maytag at 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. We have a fun show today, right?
Absolutely.
Brian thought he was on. I said, he goes, I'm going to be out this week and next week. And I said, well, you weren't scheduled this week because it's the fifth Friday or the fifth Thursday. There was five Thursdays in this month.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're not on, dude. But anyway, no, Brian's a good sport about it. He will not be here next week either, so I have to find somebody. If you have some political people, I have one in mind, so I have to get in touch with him. He's not on the ballot, but you can write him in. That's your clue.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. John Gillette is going to be on.
Woo-hoo.
At the bottom of the hour. I just talked to him on the phone, and we have to wish Leo a happy birthday. Leo Biasucci, I'm not sure how old, maybe he's, I don't think he's 40 yet, is he?
I don't know.
Is he eligible to run for president?
Well, yeah.
That's 35, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. He looks like
happy
a young
birthday,
pup.
Happy birthday, Leo.
Anyway, happy birthday, Leo. And I don't think he can hear me because they're deep in budget negotiations, right?
Yeah, it's pretty well done from what I, you know. There's some points.
Governor Brewer's got some problems with it, especially the ESA funding. I was like, let it go.
Governor Brewer?
I did say Brewer, didn't I?
I called
Wow. Hobgoblin. Sorry.
Yeah.
Governor Hobbs. Wow, where's my head? Governor Hobbs, Katie Hobbs, has a problem with it because of the empowerment scholarship accounts and the funding. It's like, okay, now, we've done this for about 5 years, not with you, but your predecessor, and let's just go with it. Mm-hmm. All right? It is here to stay. If you pull the funding for ESAs now, you're going to probably affect over 100,000 school-age children in Arizona.
Yeah, let's just see where she puts her money where her mouth is on the budget and affecting all of Arizona's. And,
right.
And, you know, she's going to keep playing the veto game. She does it well.
I want to talk about the picnic, obviously.
Yes.
Let's go to that. But I want to come back to Governor Brewer, Governor Hobbs, and your strategy with the party, because, you know, once you get to the general, I have a feeling I know who's going to win. you know, Biggs is looking pretty good, mm-hmm. fundraising-wise, too. So I just want to talk about that strategy, because okay. there's something that you can hold over Hobbs' head easily. There's a couple things. I mean, she has a record for vetoes. But anyway, let's talk about the picnic. Is it right before primary?
Yes, we had to move it because of the date of the legislature moving the primary up. So we've had to, you know, hate to use the word, but we had to pivot. But before we get into that, I have to give out a shout out to my dad and my aunt who is listening. My aunt loves me, but she hates my politics. So hi, Aunt Linda.
Is she in Texas?
She's here. She's here visiting.
Visiting, but where's she from originally? Minnesota?
Minnesota. She is from Minnesota.
What?
Yeah, that's my family is.
Wow, what a weird guess.
Yeah.
Well, the Segesser is
that's husband's side.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So it's my mom's sister. But the picnic will be now June 13th. We are not having it in the Wallapies. We are having it at Metcalf Park off of Route 66 uh-huh. in Kingman. We hope we attract some more people, maybe even some P&Ds and independents who want to come hear from the candidates. We have a good lineup, and we're ready to go.
That's good timing, because the community forum that we have, the candidates forum,
yes.
Is on the 17th.
Yes.
And that's the following Wednesday. It's like 4 days later. So you've got, we'll have those candidates that are fresh off their stump speeches there at the picnic, right?
Yes.
Which will be mostly our city council, mayoral candidates and that. I'm sure they'll be there.
For us, for the picnic, we are doing statewide candidates. We as a party, we cannot intervene in city non-denominational elections.
I've seen them up there, those candidates, though, because they support the party.
Yes. So,
they'll be there talking amongst friends or whatever.
Yes, they can get a tent. Now, for Kingman, because we are in Kingman and they have their local events, after we do our MCRCC statewide offices, we're going to turn it over for the city elections. So if they want to come out there and talk, they can.
Is Kingman city elections, are they nonpartisan?
They are.
Oh, they are too. Okay.
If you can consider it. So, you know, we talk about this. Is it nonpartisan? Yes. The letter of the law, it is nonpartisan. They don't run on the Republican ticket. But a lot of people make it partisan because they look for who's, you know, Republican or a Democrat. I find it very odd here in Havasu that we have a Republican candidate who is a write-in.
Oh, I didn't know his party affiliation.
Why would you want to run from that? So I've reached out to him.
I've tried to reach out to him. How do you say your name, dude? Is it Grappington or Grapington?
Well, I've reached out a couple times as the party chair, and I've gotten no response. I find it very odd.
Thank you.
I find it very odd that someone who is a registered Republican, which is public information, that they are running from the party in Lake Havasu. What are you thinking? So, yeah, interesting strategy.
I've had somebody who's very well known in the community, you know, say, hey, you need to get him on the show, you need to do this, you need to have him on the forum, on stage. First of all, writing candidates have never had a seat on the stage because they didn't work for their signatures and get on the ballot like the like the qualified candidates did. But you can have a table in the concourse at the event. You can have a table and meet with people.
Do I look threatening?
No, why?
I know. That's why I can't figure out. Do I look threatening? Do
I look threatening right. too? But I'm like, I mean, if I'm a write-in candidate, I want to get the word out as much as, like Frankie did, Frankie Lyons.
Yep.
I want to get the word out. The late Frankie Lyons, by the way. I'm very sad about that. You want to almost be a household name. Let's see, I can write in that name besides my own.
and I understand that the position is, you know, it's non-denominational. You don't want to associate yourself with the Republican Party. I just find it really odd because I got a lot of people who some other people might consider the rhino word. But, boy, they attach themselves to the party like that when they want to run for election. So this one's kind of new to me, to be honest.
Yeah, that's interesting. So the picnic, who is coming? Who's sponsoring? Who are your...
Right now...
Putting it all together.
Well, the MCRCC, so it's myself and the executive board. And right now, the final invitations just went out, so we have confirmed Congressman Biggs, Alex Colladan, Gina Sobota, and I think that's it. That's confirmed. It's just been a couple days.
No Swikert?
Not as of yet. But them and their teams, they're working it out. When the legislature moved the date, they moved the date. That's great. But they didn't think about, they just shortened the window for everybody to vie for statewide offices. So with us having our event, there's multiple events that day, and we're trying to get everybody, accommodate the candidates so we can get the most here. I don't want to hold them hostage all day, but I need them to come speak to their to the voters. And when you're 3.5 hours from the great state of Maricopa, we really do need, you have to come out to Mojave County. Now, Mojave County is important because we offset Maricopa votes 3-1. So if you want to win, you need to be in Mojave County.
And that's what happened to Carrie Lake.
Yep.
She went 2.5-1 maybe and lost by, what, 17,000 votes.
Yep.
So, yeah. But anyway, I digress. Swikert. I heard, I don't know if this is a rumor or if it's fact, but I saw it in print that his campaign war chest is less than what he makes as a congressman.
That could be true.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
That's what, less than 200,000?
Yeah, so their salary is, what, 184,000?
Yeah.
189,000? Yeah. Or it was.
That's crazy. How do you run for governor? I mean, you would think he would say, okay, you know, maybe I'm going to drop out and go the way that KTR did, Karen Taylor Robeson,
well,
and hopefully I'll get picked as a running mate.
You know, the writing on the wall is, you know, everyone is Biggs. Like, they call this Biggs country, right?
Right.
So then Congressman Swikert comes out, and I went to several of his meetings, and he has some really interesting things to say. And people who might have been Biggs move back normal, you know, and then they go back and forth. So we're going to see what the people decide.
I think the difference for me is that Biggs was actually a state senator at one time. And I think he and Ron Gould served in the state senate together. I'm not sure if Swikert did. I don't know where he came from as far as his political roots.
I want to say he was part of the state legislature for a while.
He could have been. If anybody out there knows, give us a call, 928-854-5687. It's okay to talk politics on this show, right?
Yes.
Couldn't talk politics in my house. In Vegas, in my parents' house anyway, my dad would say, no politics. And I go, that's why things don't get done, Dad. That's why people have the attitude they have, is because so many people go, don't talk politics. Well, why can't we?
Yeah. And when we talk
it's
politics,
our government.
We should examine and we should dissect
yes.
it. And we should be able to talk rationally and calmly without throwing temper tantrums.
right. Oh, nice segue.
Mm-hmm.
Nice segue. So, there's your chairman of the county party, obviously.
Yes.
There's a you told me I want to talk about behavior and people's not just their behavior but their demeanor, the etiquette as a precinct committee person.
Yeah, so you know, we get this, oh, you shouldn't let them say that. Excuse me? That's political speech. That is the fundamental protection speech. And I will, you know,
give me an example.
If you do not like a candidate and you want to, you know, chastise them for a vote or something they didn't do, they are protected. That's political speech. If you want to vote for them or against them. Where it becomes dicey for the party is that if you say, I don't like this candidate because of XYZ, and I'm a precinct committeeman, and I will vote against them.
In your own party?
In your own party.
Okay.
You can't do that by our rules because you are implying that the party supported that statement, and that is not true. It's in our bylaws. It's in our standing rules. Arizona GOP, AZFRW even has rules like that, that you are not free to speak on behalf of the party.
Wow.
That's me.
Right.
Was this
behavior allowed before?
No. And part of the issue that's coming up is that we also don't endorse. There is a mechanism to have a candidate endorsed or not endorsed through Mojave County GOP, and some of the LDs are doing that. And I think that is, depending on your bylaws, it's against your bylaws in the state GOP, because you guys get together and decide that you're just going to go against the rules, then what does it leave everybody else? You know, I'm trying my best to keep everybody in line. So we have people who are arguing, you know, for or against our candidate, and they get very excitable, and things get said, and, you know, hurt feelings, and it might even be another candidate. Well, that might be your seatmate, and you're trashing them so much that how are you guys going to work together? You're just going to shake hands and kumbaya? You're going to leave a lot of hurt feelings, and I've seen it before where you say that and you think you're doing the right. I would encourage all the candidates to run on their own merit. Stop attacking the other candidates. There's, you know, positive and negatives about everybody. Run on what you think the job is and what you think you're going to do with the job.
It's kind of why I came up with the question, can you work as a team?
Mm-hmm.
Can you be part of a team? Are you a team player? Because so much is made of the legislative team from Mojave County. We're going up against the big boys here in the great state of Maricopa.
Yes.
Have to work as a team. And the best example of that, and I don't know if you saw it or not, was Regina Cobb, Sonny Borelli, Leo Biasucci. And Leo was a freshman at the time. I think Regina had 2 years when Leo got elected, if I remember right. But the things they did, were people were looking and watching and saying, this has never really happened like this before. We're win after win after win. It was like Trump, you know, you're going to get tired of winning.
Well, it's what we did in Texas, and we started at the city council, and then we went to the state senator and the state ledge, and then we went up to the governor, and then we went up to Congress. Mm-hmm. And when we all were walking lockstep together, we got some tremendous legislation done. Now, did we agree on 100% of everything? No. But then we fought behind closed doors, but the minute we walked out there, we were kumbaya, we went forward with the plan to make our state and our country better. And that's what we focused on. It wasn't about personal ideologies and who gives a litmus test. And some of the, you know, PCs think that they are the determiner of who's eligible to run, who can run, and stuff like that. I can't decide who can run. I have no authority. I can't, even if they're like, you should be doing background checks on these people. But why? That's not my job. I am not the arbitrator of who's eligible to run, who's not eligible to run.
It's interesting you say that. I've said for many years, probably 20 years now, Jody, that, and we're talking to Jody Segesser, by the way, she is the chair of the Mojave County Republican Central Committee. And give us a call, 928-854-5687. But I've been saying for many years, 20 years, why don't they do a credit score on some of these people? They're handling taxpayer money.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Well, why isn't this a law?
You know, you can.
You know, a minimum credit score of whatever.
There are entities, we certainly did that in Texas. You know, we vetted our candidates. Here was not a concept that they were interested in, but in Texas we ran background checks and we did credit reports on them because we wanted to know that if we put a candidate forward, we wanted to know everything that was going to hit us.
Yeah, the dirt.
The dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was a paid opposition researcher.
Wow. All right, let's go.
I was the dirt finder.
You were. Let's take a short break. Unfortunately, we lost one of your favorite artists yesterday.
Yes.
The age of 83. David Allan Coe. Passed. Did you hear how he died? I didn't hear.
Yeah.
I didn't even hear a news story on it. I just saw a little post on Facebook.
Yeah.
That was it. All right. This is one of his famous hits. You Never Even Called Me By My Name. David Allan Coe. As we go to break with Jody Segesser, we'll have John Gillette's going to call in around the bottom of the hour. Looks like about 6 minutes from now. We'll take a 2 minute break. Back with more in a moment on Speak Out. 928-854-5687. Got tickets to tomorrow night's D-backs. Mets? No. Which game? They don't play this week. It's next week. The D-backs and the Mets. I have Friday, Saturday tickets for the next series when they play next week. So, anyway, if you want tickets to either one of those games, the Friday or the Saturday, give me a call. 928-854-5687. Stay with us. As long as you will let me.
Jody, like a melody playing inside my head, till the thought of you's more than I can stand. Just to think of having you is music to my soul. You make me feel as though the world's in my hand.
Well, I could make somebody look really good right now and say, Doug called me and said, play this song, but he didn't.
Hi, Doug.
He's probably listening,
he
you
is.
Think?
He is.
Or is he at a really important meeting?
Yeah, he's texting.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, and by A&B Propane. Go online to abpropaneaz.com. And I was telling you during the break, we have a really, really, really good show. I don't even know if I want to tell people because I might switch from Brian Kilmeade to the sports station because we're starting the Dan Patrick Show on Monday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., followed by The Herd, Colin Cowherd, followed by Jim Rome.
Wow.
The big three. That's that like the trinity of sports talk radio, man. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
It's like a cathedral. And we have it right here in Lake Havasu City, Bullhead City, and Kingman, right?
Yes.
Right. Welcome to the team. But if you go to the sports station, you'll hear Dan Patrick all over it saying that he's coming. And yeah.
That is great.
Isn't that amazing?
That is. And I think part, you know, you and I talked before about how awesome it is to be in summer hearing a baseball game on the radio. There is nothing else like it.
No.
And I think with all the streaming services and the cost of the keep going up, people are reverting back to radio and are just trying to catch up and have some actual discussion. And with the defunct ESPN.
Hey, guess who's on? All right. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, this is John Gillette.
John Gillette, now you sound funny. Are you there?
Really?
Yeah, a little bit. Little hollow.
I did not change any of the settings. How's that?
There. It's a microphone positioning thing then.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. That sounds good. So Jody's here. Jody Segesser.
Hi, John.
And we're with Legislative District 30 Representative John Gillette. And I'm kind of sad you're not running.
I appreciate that. I've heard it a lot. And the well-wishing, I love it. It's great. But I'm a firm term limits believer. Mm-hmm. I told the party and I told everybody when I ran I would give 4 years. It's time for me to move on.
Wow. Thanks, Teddy Roosevelt. Appreciate that.
it's not a matter of burnout, but right. Politics is not solvable. This problem will never be solved, and you just have to have someone come in, push the agenda as hard as they can for a while, and then move on. That's the way it should be.
You know, you told me something I didn't know about I'm French-Canadian, and I have an Italian brother named Leo Biasucci, right? And yesterday was his birthday?
Yes. And I'm telling you what, Leo Biasucci, and I know he's well-loved in Havasu, but the man is a hypocrite. I'll tell you that right now.
Really? Okay.
I walked into his office yesterday, and no crap, there was sitting on his desk an Egg McMuffin meal from McDonald's. Grease leaking out of the bag. It was everywhere. It was disgusting.
Does that meet Maha standards?
It does not.
I'm ashamed.
I can't put him on the bus that hard. I bought the bag I bought the food for a birthday gag gift, mm-hmm. and I put it on his desk. But what I did is I went online and I searched all the chemical compounds in an Egg McMuffin.
Oh,
and there was like 71 items listed. Half of them you can't read. So I put it on a birthday card. I attached it to the bag and put it on his desk. But Teresa and all the rest of the gang, they labeled everything in his office with some kind of warning label or hazard label. PFAS plastic, carbon paper, all the whole thing. So he had a good little party.
That's funny.
That's hilarious.
71? That's nuts.
Yeah, yeah. And the word egg is not mentioned.
Oh, really? They're not even real eggs in an Egg McMuffin?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe the scientific term for an egg was there, but I mean, there was like letters, numbers, graphs, all the stuff that's actually in an Egg McMuffin. But, the study I looked at was being critical of McDonald's. It also mentioned the tools that they use and how it transfers certain chemicals and biological compounds to the meal. And I'm like, you know, I like Egg McMuffins. I didn't eat it, but it's like now I'm questioning my judgment. Should I ever eat, you know, any processed egg again? You know, just get the egg from the chicken. That's the way to go.
Sort of sounds.
We're here to talk about budget, right?
Yeah, sort of sounds like one of those sheets that you go checking off for radioactive materials. You know, you got letters and numbers and hyphens and that, but no real ingredients. That sounds scary.
Like when people were buying the uranium plates in the 40s and 50s,
right.
And wonder why, you know, hey, my food is still warm 3 hours later.
That's funny. Hey, tell us what's going on with the budget. I called her Governor Brewer earlier. I can't believe I did that. I'm sorry, Jan Brewer, if you're listening. And she's running different organization, a nonprofit right now, by the way. I need to get in touch with her. Anyway, Governor Hobbs, she wasn't happy about ESA funding, which she hasn't been forever, her and her teachers union. Are you Is there a compromise being reached here? Are you 80% there? Are you 90% there? What's going on?
Well, I'm going to give you some facts, and I'll give you my own opinion, because that's really all I have when it comes to the budget. You know, I did what I was asked to do for the budget, and the Democrat talking points, and I'm going to call them that because that's exactly what it is, they don't want ESAs, period.
Right.
And they're doing everything they can to stop it. Now, on the omnibus tax bill, I went and looked at the RTF, and for folks that don't know, you can go to azleg.gov and look up any bill number and see who signs in support and signs in opposed. The opposed was one mayor and a school organization. Now, they continually said on the floor yesterday that we're defunding public schools, and this is the biggest fight in this budget, because half of the budget bills, which I was part of the Republican filibuster yesterday to highlight some things, but most of the bills are unchanged, financially unchanged from last year. There are some tighter regulations, some tighter controls, but the money is what it is. We cannot grow money. The Democrats want to tax everything so they can move that taxation into K through 12 funding. And we had tons of emails from superintendents and all these school K through 12 government school supporters. But let me break it down. I got my notes from yesterday. If I were asked questions on the floor of this, but K-12 is not being defunded. So any Democrat that tells you that, they are 100% lying. So and to prove what I'm telling you, this is the easiest thing to do to prove it to the public. Mm-hmm. They can go onto the JLBC website and pull the fiscal year 25 budget. Now, that has everything listed, everything that she signed off, and then you can pull the House and Senate version of what we put together this year, and the numbers speak for themselves. So it's not being defunded. It goes from $7.6 billion in 25 to $8.45 billion in 27. So the increase is about $770 million, or 10.1%. What they're claiming is cut is from the funding formula. And you could make that argument that there is a cut there. And I'll tell you why. Because the ADE general fund, like I said, was 7.6, goes up to 8.4. Hmm. School facilities division goes from 320 to 324. We're talking million there.
Right.
And then the combined K through 12 is up 9.7%. So what we're talking about is the funding formulas. Now, I don't have time to go into it. I mean, you don't have a four-hour show, and I couldn't adequately explain it in a way people could understand it. But the funding formula itself is based off butts and seats, kids in school.
Sure.
So with the census of public school students being down, the formula is adjusted correctly. So we're not funding empty seats. We're funding students to the tune of $776 million. And the 324, but the baseline budget of the $277.8 million growth is offset by negative $92.1 because of the declining public school enrollment. Now, the cost per kid is still going up, but there are less kids going to school, so therefore you need less money. And I'm going to use Lake Havasu is an example,
okay,
because I had a very, let's say, difficult constituent from LD 30 in Lake Havasu, and they emailed me all the hate and disgust for me supporting David Rose and the Lake Havasu School Board. But let me tell you what they did, and this is a great example. And there are other schools that are doing this, but I'm gonna highlight Havasu because I'm talking to Havasu folks. So when they had a $30 million reserve, unencumbered reserve in their budget,
okay,
$30 million. So at the end of the year, when kids are out of school, everything's paid, the building's maintained, I'm talking everything is in their budget, the budget is balanced, and they had a $30 million reserve. So the board did the math, and I'm sure their accountants had something to do with it as well, but the board pushed this, and what they did, is they took that $30 million reserve down to $11 million. That still gives them roughly 10 to 12% of their operating cost percentage in reserve. So let's say the roof caves in. They got money to cover it. They got money to cover emergencies. Mm-hmm. But they took the rest of that $30 million that was in reserve, and they funded classrooms and teacher raises.
Right.
Now, it scares the public schools to death when boards do that, because now the teachers, they don't need a union if the board's taking care of them.
Ah.
Yes. So that's why we've constantly tried to fund the teachers using the school's money. And the schools hate that, because the schools want this additional money, and the unions and the AFT and the Nancy Weingarten crowd,
yeah,
they want more tax money coming into the base so they don't have to dig into those reserves.
Boy, I never thought of that, John. That's well said, too. Very well explained. Well, thank you so much.
I ran on this issue. This is one of the issues that I ran on, was the K-12 public schools. Now, we haven't even spoken about the product they deliver, that most kids are graduating, you know, illiterate. But that's not even something we spoke about. So with the K-12 public school funding, we've got all the things going on. So the Democrats and their party, they survive from the school lobbies donating to their campaigns. And this is very simple. Another thing that the public can fact check me on, you just go to the campaign finance, go to Clean Books or any of the campaign finance, and look at the biggest donor to the Democrat Party. It is the teachers union and the schools.
Yep.
So you have superintendents in the state making $500,000 a year, plus their fancy take-home packages, and that's what they want funded. Because those superintendents kick back money into the system, mm-hmm. the teachers kick back money into the system, and then the system, that being the unions and the nonprofits and all their apparatus, have money to kick into political candidates. It has nothing to do about education, because the bottom line number for students has gone up every single year since I've been there.
Okay.
And they continue to say we're defunding public schools. And it's a complete and total lie. Like I said, you can compare the budgets side by side, look at the increases and the decrease in enrollment. We have plenty of money for public schools.
So we have a limited time here. I mean, we do have a full hour, but we're up against the next 20 minutes right now, John. So are you telling me, if I'm going to read between the lines, reading the tea leaves there, that Hobbs wants more money for education even though there are less butts in the seats?
That's true. She wants the Prop 123. They want to dig into our reserves, because she's already basically bankrupt the state between using our reserves mm-hmm. and the fraud. There's no more money for her to shift around, so she wants the Prop 123, and we're a hard no on Prop 123, because what she wants to do will bankrupt the state land trust.
It sounds like there's promises that have been made to the education union. They don't call it the teachers union anymore, right, in Arizona?
Yeah. No, American Federation of Teachers has, I think there's 13 different organizations uh-huh. that support teachers. You know, like,
yeah.
It's just a cabal of taxpayer money
wow.
going to candidates. Not right. the teachers, not the students, to candidates.
Do you got time to hang on for a break, and then we'll come back?
Yep, I'll be here.
All right, perfect. Man, that was so well explained, Jody.
Masterclass, as usual.
Masterclass. He's got, you can tell he's fresh off of work, right? Kind
yes.
of filibustering me.
I don't think John's ever off.
I don't either. Anyway, John, we're going to be right back. And, again, we're giving away Diamondbacks tickets. We've got D-backs Mets, I think it's next weekend, 928-854-5687. 928-854-KNTR. Our guest, of course, State Representative John Gillette. And, oh yeah, by the way, Mojave County Republican Central Committee Chair Jody Segesser.
Mm-hmm.
Little Whiskey Myers. That's some West Texas music for you right
yep.
there. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us. See, I knew John Gillette would request something very eclectic, right? Oh, wow. Oh, Buddy Guy.
That's mine.
You want me to play some Buddy Guy next? Yeah. You'll go for that, right, John?
Oh, yeah.
Play some Buddy Guy next. Tell me about this R.L. Burnside. You said he died recently.
Yeah, he died a couple years ago. And I just found it poking around one day, and I read his name and looking through some Blues Master stuff, and I'm like, all right, I type him in there, and there was one YouTube video.
Wow.
Not a lot of videos out there,
uh-huh.
And I watched that video, and it was raw, it was hard, he's playing a dime store guitar and making it sound good, and then, you know, I listened to XM Radio, and I listened to Bluesville. His son is actually an artist, up-and-coming artist, and doing well, but, you know, this guy did... He followed the same track as B.B. King, Muddy Waters, but never made it anywhere.
Wow.
And just one of those, don't know why, because he didn't have the money to get the exposure and travel.
Yeah. Probably a guitar right out of the Sears catalog, I would imagine, you know, back in the day.
Used out of the Sears catalog.
Speak Out brought to you in part by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. Also... Springburg Wealth Management by the Chair, Laughlin Ranch by Mojave College, Shooter's Outpost. Pretty cool challenge coin, right?
Yes.
That thing is tight. Also, Solar Power by Esme Electric. You stole my challenge coin? Oh, you have one.
I have one.
How cool is that? Also, Doritos Place and Legacy Rehab and Care. Is this mine now?
That is yours.
No.
On behalf of Embassy RCC.
Well, thank you. Well,
thank
you're
you.
My new best friend today.
Thank you for everything you do for us.
Wow, you're welcome. Absolutely. Don't forget, folks, the GOP picnic is on the 13th of June. It got moved back.
Yes.
To the June 13th. It's a Saturday, Wallapai Mountain Park.
Oh, and Kingman.
What?
We're in Kingman.
Oh, you're at Metcalf Park.
Metcalf Park.
I bet. It's always at Wallapai.
I know.
This is easier, though.
I know. It's a lot easier.
You should have a lot of people showing up for that. I played at that park one time. It's a really cool little park.
It's a beautiful park.
It's weird to get in, though, through that back parking lot. And it's a strange, you'll see.
Yeah.
You'll have fun with that.
Yes.
All right. Again, we're with Jody Segesser. She is the chair of the Mojave County Republican Central Committee. And we also have John Gillette on the line. He, of course, is our state representative in Phoenix, the great state of Maricopa.
Boo.
Boo, right? What else is holding up the budget, you think, John?
Well, besides the K-12 funding and her attacks on the ESA program, you know, and they use all the pejorative language and narrative. Well, it's a voucher program. It is not a voucher program. The ESAs allow a parent to use the tax money they are going to pay anyway just to direct it to their own child's education. That's simple. That's all that it is. And they keep saying there's all this money and waste and fraud. You know, we've seen 12 News beat it up, and then we saw Tom Horn come out, well, yeah, you know, there's 20% fraud. Then he realized he had a death pool in the wrong place, and it's actually less than, it is the cleanest program in the state of Arizona.
Yeah, we interviewed the Goldwater Institute, the director of education policy there, and it's, .02, not 20%, right?
Right. So, but here's the thing. In what they were calling fraud, the first fraudulent accounts were found and adjudicated, but they were done by employees under the previous administration. So it was ESA employees that were manipulating the forms and getting money and doing these things, and that was quite a bit of the fraud right there, right off the top. But, as you know, I've been investigating fraud this last 2 years. That has been my charge. That's what I've been doing, election fraud and other fraud. But the state of Arizona, by contract, what we typically do on most things is run the program first, audit later. We fixed that in the Arizona House. The ESA program is one of the only programs now that audits up front. So but when you turn in any kind of receipt or invoice, that is scrutinized before it's paid. In the past, it would be paid, and then later during the audit, find out, oh, we shouldn't have paid this, and now we got to go get the money, and we're calling all that fraud. But the ESA program is the cleanest because of the way that they scrutinize the vouchers. It goes through a three-level system. When that invoice is turned in, it goes through three levels of scrutiny before it's paid. And if it is still paid and it turns out later in another audit that it shouldn't have been paid, then that money is collected back. You don't see that in the DDD program, the PPCG program. You don't see that with Access, SNAP, any of that. We don't go at, we just shut the payment off. But all those programs are based off self-attestation, where you say, you raise your right hand and swear, yes, I am eligible for this program, wink, wink. And you get the money, and it goes on for a couple of years, and then the audit finds out you're not eligible, and then you're kicked off the program. Huh. But we know we never go after those funds.
Right, right. And it's you don't have to be Somalian to get those funds either. Joke. All right.
No. But the Nigerian connection with the sober living homes, that's about $2 billion in fraud nobody knows about, but you right. can simply go onto the court records and look at it. $2 billion with a B of sober living fraud through all these programs. And, yes, some of that money was collected back, but we had just the one in Phoenix. It was $60 million right under the auditor or the attorney general's nose. And the auditor general found it and was scolded by the attorney general for finding the fraud. You can't make this stuff up.
John, before you got on the line, Jody and I were talking about, and I've had this idea for several years, probably 20 to be exact, of a mandatory credit score in order to run for and stay in office. Would you be in favor of something like that?
You know what? That's very telling that you said that, because we heard testimony on the floor yesterday, because I spoke about a portion of the budget that will give the tax credit for IRA contributions instead of age 65, age 60, if you're retired. And that would cover military retirees, seniors 60 and over that are retired from any kind of public safety or public sector jobs, such as firemen, teachers, because a lot of these jobs, like police, a lot of times they don't contribute into Social Security. They contribute into other mechanisms.
Pension plans, right, right.
Yeah, yeah. So they would get that tax credit. That's their money that they are depositing for savings, but the government wants to tax it. So we're saying, no, you get up to six grand that you can save harmless. Uh-huh. You're not being penalized on that money. So what better way to help seniors and younger retirees that are struggling to let them keep their money and not be taxed on it? And then we have someone stand up and say, as a single mother, she doesn't think this is a good idea because she's not able to save any money, and she doesn't have any money in reserves, and this is a tax break for billionaires. So if she is a member of the legislature,
right,
and she doesn't have a reserve budget in her own home, meaning she cannot balance her own budget
right.
and maintain her own funds, then maybe she shouldn't be voting on a budget. So I would support
correct.
It. If your credit score is so bad that you can't manage your funds, you should not be able to manage the people's funds.
Amen, my brother.
This is the only statutory constitutional obligation we have as legislators is to complete a balanced budget. So you should be able to demonstrate in some fashion, but let me give you the other argument.
Okay, hurry, please.
Hurry?
Yeah, we're up against the clock.
Not constitutional. We'd have to write it in.
Oh,
we'd
right.
have to make a constitutional amendment.
Well, we could make it a voter referendum, right?
You could do it.
There you go. Maybe I'll lead the charge on that. We'll see.
Only if you register Republican.
Oh,
she's strong-arming me now, John, because I'm a PND, you know, a party not declared.
Oh, one of those kids.
Yeah. And he's a boomer.
Oh, no. Anyway, I wanted to get to something. We have about a minute with Jody. How to win elections 101.
Yeah.
Okay, well, one of those I can tell you right now, you have a really good shot. You will really weigh your chances heavily if you advertise on KNTR Talk as a candidate.
Absolutely, we agree with that.
It happens all the time.
Happens all the time. And the other part is you have to get more votes than the other guy. It's really that simple. So having a strategy of ticking off all your potential voters is probably not the best thing you should do. So
right.
stick to your issues, stick to what you want to do. Go forward with that.
All right. John Gillette, thanks for joining us today.
All right, sir. You guys have a good one. Voter turnout's where it's at. That's how we win.
Absolutely.
Oh, man, everybody's got to get out. The midterms are so important, too.
Yes.
So, all right, John, thank you for joining us today. It was very impromptu, and we just had a last-minute availability, so thank you so much.
Glad I was able to accommodate. Take care. See you, Jody.
Bye-bye.
All right. Got a little Buddy Guy queued up.
Yep.
You know what this is? The Hoochie Coochie Man. I love this song. Love, love, love this song.
I've seen him in the House of Blues in Houston and Dallas. Wow. I mean,
he's in one of my favorite movies. It's called Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead.
Oh, my God.
With Andy Garcia.
I got to look that up.
I love that movie. It's a fantastic movie. There's so many stars in it. Christopher Walken's in it. There's just so many. Anyway, that's it for us for this week. I don't think I have a show tomorrow, but I am interviewing Elijah.
Good.
Elijah Norton.
Elijah Norton.
Yeah, he's running
for treasurer.
For treasurer, state treasurer, and I'll be interviewing him in about a half hour.
Excellent.
It'll be a recorded interview that I think it plays next week, if I remember right.
Good.
All right. Thanks for joining us on Speak Out this week. And Jody, thanks for the challenge coin. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
All right. And don't forget, folks, if you have changed your address in any way, even if you live in the same building, different apartment, you still have to re-register to vote. You have to give them that address change. Right?
Yes, you have to match your ID.
I did it.
Yep.
And I'm still a PND.
We can fix that.
All right. She's making it her life's mission, folks.
It is.
All right. I'll see you on Monday on Speak Out.
Only seven ID. And only seven day. I thought I heard my baby say, June, you don't have to love me. You don't have to be true. You can treat me like a...
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.